Good morning, and thank you for joining Adecoagro's 2016 second quarter results conference. As you may have seen in our release, we reported strong results in all of our businesses. This was a combination of a number of factors, of which our daily work and effort to maintain a low cost of production constitutes the most important one. As we have always remarked, being the low-cost producer is the only way to run a profitable business in an industry where we cannot control variables such as price and weather. Basically, our formula to control and reduce costs consists of, one, enhancing both industrial and agricultural efficiency, and two, increasing productivity. In our earnings release, we are showing productivity increases in all of our businesses. For example, in Argentina, we are reporting crop yields in line with the previous season, which was record harvest despite the abundant rainfall that we suffered. Our milking cows continue increasing productivity, reaching more than 35 liters per day per cow, the highest in the industry. In our sugar, ethanol, and energy business, TRS per hectare increased quarter over quarter, reaching 13.3 tons per hectare. These industrial and agricultural investments dilute our fixed costs and are reflected in the results of each quarter. Specifically, in the sugar, ethanol, and energy business, we have reported that our industrial and agricultural costs measured per ton of sugarcane crushed and per ton of TRS have decreased by 12 and 9% respectively. We are aware that there are still many things that can be improved and fine-tuned to continue reducing our cost of production. We are very optimistic and excited about our prospects. We are very proud on the quality of the operational and management teams, which we have developed in each business, and are confident that we will reach our operational and return targets. At the same time, we continue looking for attractive growth opportunities in each of our business lines to continue generating value and attractive returns for all of our shareholders. Now, I will let Charlie walk you through the number of the quarter.
Thank you, Mariano. Good morning, everyone. Let's start on page 4, where I would like to comment on the weather conditions in our cluster in Mato Grosso do Sul. As you mentioned in the chart, the region suffered excess rainfall during May, which caused logistic and operational disruptions. As we have explained in the past, when the soil is humid, we have to stop harvesting activities to avoid damaging the soil with the heavy harvesters, tractors, and trucks. Rains during May and the first half of June were not only above the historical average, but also highly dispersed, resulting in significant operational downtime. Let's move to page 5. As a result of the excess rains, we had 13% less effective milling time in the quarter. At the same time, our milling volume per day increased by 6% as a result of the ramp-up of the Vinema mill and higher operational efficiencies across harvesting, logistics, and milling operations. As a result of these two factors, we were able to crush a total of 2.7 million tons in the second quarter of 2016, 8% below last year. On a year-to-date basis, however, due to the early commencement of the harvest as part of the continuous harvest model that we have implemented since the beginning of the year, sugarcane crushing has increased by 24% year over year. Finally, I would also like to highlight that during July and first week of August, rains have normalized and returned to historical average. Therefore, we have been able to accelerate the pace of milling, and have compensated most of the delay generated in the second quarter. Please jump to page 6, where I would like to highlight a few agricultural productivity metrics. We remain fully focused on agricultural productivity since we understand that it's the main driver for becoming a low-cost producer. Over 70% of total production costs are related to sugarcane production at the field. As a result, yields per hectare during the quarter have reached 111 tons, 11% higher than last year, while TRS per ton has increased by 7% as a result of the excess rains. Finally, TRS per hectare remains 3% higher than last year.
Let's move to slide 7. Production during the second quarter has been negatively impacted by the decrease in sugarcane crushing. As a result, sugar and ethanol production fell by 10% and 12% respectively, resulting in an 11% decrease in TRS equivalent produced. Energy exports only dropped by 6% since we began burning our stockpile of bagasse carried since the first quarter as market prices began increasing. As explained earlier, this is only a delay in production, which we expect to offset during the third quarter. Let's now move to slide 8. Despite lower milling and production volumes, we have been able to reduce our operational costs. As you may see in the table, unitary production costs measured in terms of sugarcane crushed and in terms of TRS produced decreased by 12.4% and 8.8% respectively in the second quarter. Furthermore, cost dilution was achieved at both the industrial and agricultural sides of the business. This has been the result of an ongoing process of efficiency enhancement and fine-tuning across the entire production process, seeking to become the low-cost producer of sugar and ethanol in Brazil. The depreciation of the Brazilian real also contributed to the dollar cost dilution, given that most of our costs of production are measured in local currency. On a year-to-date basis, unitary production costs have also decreased by 20.4% and 15.4% respectively.
Now, let's please turn to slide 9, where I would like to discuss sales. Net sales during the quarter were 86.3 million, slightly higher year over year. The dynamics of sales are mainly driven by present and expected relative prices. During the second quarter of 2016, sugar prices were much higher than ethanol prices measured at sugar parity. This explains why production was more skewed towards sugar production during the quarter and sales volume increased by 20% compared to the same period of last year. In the case of ethanol, sales volumes decreased by 22% compared to last year, resulting in an 18% decrease in sales. This is explained by our ethanol carry strategy due to market seasonality. Ethanol prices are highly seasonal. Prices are usually very weak during harvest time, as all mills are crushing and supplying ethanol to the market. As we get close to the end of the harvest, ethanol volumes start to decrease, pushing prices up. Prices reached seasonal highs during the first quarter when mills stopped milling, generating a shortage of supply. We are able to benefit from this seasonality curve as a result of our storage capacity and our strong balance sheet. During the end of the second quarter, we decided to minimize ethanol sales and start to fill up our tanks in order to capture higher prices towards the end of the year and enhance our margins. In the case of energy, despite a 19% increase in volume sold, sales were 47% lower than last year. This is explained by lower cogen prices as a result of normalized hydropower supply and lower energy demand. Finally, to conclude with the sugar, ethanol, and energy business, I would like to focus on slide 10. Here, we can see the overall financial performance of the sugar and ethanol and energy business. adjusted EBITDA in the second quarter of 2016 reached 50.6 million, 3% higher than the second quarter of 2015. Adjusted EBITDA margin grew from 57% in the second quarter of 2015 to 59% in the current quarter, despite an 8% reduction in sugarcane crushing due to excess rains, lower ethanol sales as a result of the implementation of an ethanol carry strategy to capture higher prices towards the end of the season, and a 13.1 million mark-to-market loss from our sugar hedge position, we were able to increase margins. The main factors contributing to enhanced financial performance during the quarter were a 12% reduction in unitary production costs as a result of our focus on operational efficiencies and the devaluation of the Brazilian real, and higher sugar prices and sugarcane yields resulted in a 17.7 million increase in changes in fair value of unharvested sugarcane, offsetting the negative mark-to-market result of our sugar hedge position. On a cumulative basis, adjusted EBITDA for the first 6 months of 2016 grew by 41%, reaching 72.7 million. Adjusted EBITDA margin expanded to 47%. These results are primarily explained by a 24% increase in crushing volumes, coupled with a 17% increase in TRS sold, as a result of the early start of the harvest due to the implementation of the continuous harvest model, enhanced agriculture efficiencies and real devaluation resulting in a 20% dilution of unitary production costs, and higher sugar prices and yields resulted in a 27.7 million year-over-year gain from the fair value of unharvested sugar. Results were partially offset by a 12.3 million loss generated by the mark-to-market of our sugar hedge position, compared to a 13.9 million gain generated in the first 6 months of 2015. We will now turn to slide 12 of the presentation, where I would like to give an update on the harvest of our most relevant crops. As you can see in the top left chart, as of July 2016, the harvest of soybean first crop was fully completed. Average yields achieved were, overall, 11% lower than previous harvest season. Productivity was highly variable by country and by region as a result of weather volatility caused by El Niño. I would like to analyze performance by country. In Argentina, the northern region was affected by excess rains during May. Yields in that region decreased by 13.5% compared to last year, reaching 2.4 tons per hectare. In the humid pampas, the timing and intensity of rainfalls were optimum, allowing the crop to fully develop. As a result, yields reached 3.6 tons per hectare, in line with the previous harvest season, which had been record crop. Overall, yields in Argentina decreased by 5.9% to 3.2 tons per hectare, but remained above the historical average. In the case of Uruguay, the region was affected by the strong El Niño, which took place during the first half of the year. This resulted in excess rainfalls and floods, which negatively affected yields and quality of the crops. Yields were 25% below the previous season. In Western Bahia, Brazil, contrary to what happened in Argentina and in Uruguay, El Niño resulted in a severe drought. As a result, yields were 20% below year over year. The harvest of soybean second crop was also completed. Average yields reached 2.4 tons per hectare, in line with the previous harvest year, which was also a record crop. High productivity was driven by executing an efficient planting schedule. In the case of corn crop, as of the end of July, 54% of the total planted area was harvested. The average yields obtained so far were 6.2 tons per hectare, in line with the previous season. As you may see in the pie chart, in order to diversify our crop risk and water requirements, approximately 24% of the corn was planted early in September whereas the remaining 76% was planted in November and December. The harvest is expected to be completed during August, and we expect corn yields to remain in line with current levels. Lastly, in the bottom right graph, you can observe that as of the end of July, the harvest of sunflower was completed, producing over 15,500 tons. The average yield was 1.6 tons per hectare, slightly below the previous harvest yield. Let's move to page 13, where I would like to walk you through the financial performance of our farming business. As you may see in the chart, on a quarterly basis, adjusted EBIT for the farming business was 5.1 million, 85% higher year over year. This increase is mainly explained by the crops business. Adjusted EBITDA for crops reached 3.4 million, growing 389% higher year over year.
This increase is mainly explained by the crops business. Adjusted EBITDA for crops reached 3.4 million, growing 389% year over year. The increase is primarily explained by a 23.1 million increase in crops margins resulting from higher corn and soy prices in the local market as a result of the elimination of export taxes and quotas, lower production costs as a result of the depreciation of the Argentine peso in real terms, coupled with lower input prices of seeds, fertilizers, and agrochemicals. Results were partially offset by a 20.1 million loss derived from the negative mark-to-market of our commodity hedge position.
Regarding to the rice business, due to the seasonality and growth cycle of the rice crop, most of the margin generated in the 2015 and 16 harvest was recognized in the first quarter of 2016 when the crop was harvested. Adjusted EBITDA generation during the rest of the year is driven by sales of processed rice and byproducts, net of selling expenses and overhead costs. Adjusted EBITDA grew 408% compared to last year, driven by higher seed volumes. In the case of the dairy business, our operational performance during the quarter was very good, and we continue to see improvements in productivity as we consolidate the feed stall facility. Milk production volumes reached 21.6 million liters, marking a 3% increase year over year, driven by a 2.6% increase in our dairy cow herd. The gains from productivity were offset by lower selling prices, resulting in a 39% decrease in adjusted EBIT. On page 15, I would like to comment on commodity hedging. First of all, as a reminder, I would like to make a few comments regarding the rationale and strategy of our hedging program. First, Adecoagro is always naturally long commodities, since we own the productive assets, both land and industrial facilities. Secondly, our margins and cash flows are affected by the volatile price environment inherent to agricultural commodities. The objective of our hedging strategy is to mitigate short-term price volatility, allowing to lock in margins and securing a more predictable and stable cash flow to face capital obligations and working capital requirements over the upcoming 6 to 12 months. As you may see on the chart on the left, we have entered into hedge positions for our soybean, corn, and sugar production related to the current harvest, and have also started hedging next year's production. As a result of the commodity rally experienced during the second quarter, as you may see on the top chart, the mark-to-market of our hedging position as of June 30th of 2016 resulted in $34.1 million loss, which is mostly unrealized. However, since June the 30th, commodity prices have decreased, reversing most of the loss booked in the quarter. In addition, I would like to highlight that biological assets and grain inventory in our income statement are also measured at fair value. Therefore, gains or losses from our hedge position are naturally offset by changes in fair value of biological assets and the mark-to-market of inventory. In the case of current crop hedge, the offset is immediately recognized in the quarter, while in the case of next year hedge positions, the offset is delayed until the crop is planted and harvested. Let's now turn to page 16, which shows the evolution of Adecoagro's consolidated operational and financial performance. On a consolidated basis, net sales decreased year over year, mainly explained by lower production volumes and the implementation of an aggressive ethanol carriage strategy, partially offset by higher sugar and ethanol prices in dollars. Adjusted EBITDA in the second quarter of 2016 totaled $51.1 million, representing a 7.6% increase compared to the second quarter of 2015. The improvement in financial performance was primarily driven by higher soybean and corn prices in Argentina and dilution of production costs as a result of the depreciation of both the Argentine peso and the Brazilian real, combined with enhanced efficiencies in our operations. On a year-to-date basis, adjusted EBITDA stands at $94.4 million, 39% higher than last year. We expect Adecoagro's production volumes and financial performance to continue growing in line with historical growth, mainly driven by the consolidation of our sugarcane cluster and an increase in operational and financial efficiencies in each of our businesses. Let's now turn to slide 17 to take a look at our net debt position. As you may see on the top left chart, our gross indebtedness as of June the 30th of 2016 stands at $791 million, and net debt stands at $623 million, essentially unchanged compared to the same period of last year. However, we expect net debt to fall during the third and fourth quarter as we start generating positive free cash flow. I'd like to highlight that 62% of our debt is in the long term, composed mainly of loans from multilateral banks such as the BNDES at very competitive rates.
To conclude, let's move to slide 18 to discuss our capital expenditures.
Year to date, capital expenditures decreased by 35%, reaching $63 million. As anticipated, this reduction is explained by the completion of the Ivinema mill. We are currently expecting full-year CAPEX to reach approximately $110 million, of which approximately $70 million correspond to maintenance CAPEX and $40 million to expansion CAPEX. Expansion CAPEX is primarily related to the continuous harvest model in the sugar and ethanol business. As explained in the first quarter of 2016 earnings call, this new production model will allow us to crush approximately 1 million tons of sugar cane per year, increasing nominal capacity from 10.2 million tons to 11.2 million tons. Although there is no industrial capex required, we must invest in expanding our sugar cane area to be able to supply the growing capacity. In addition, expansion capex also includes marginal investments in our rice and dairy operations to expand capacity and improve operational efficiency. These investments have very high marginal returns. Despite the increase in our CAPEX focus for the year, we continue expecting to generate free cash flow net of changes in borrowings in the range of $80 to $90 million. Thank you very much for your time. We are now open to questions.